one more week, and then I'll go into a time of a Christmas series, and then we'll get back to those favorite verses, and those will take us through the end of March, and so that'll be good. So today, the sermon's entitled Jim Bender. I'm going to preach about him. No, it's Jim's favorite. And I got scared that I got the wrong reference, but I think I got the right one. If not, it's still a pretty good sermon, Jim, I think, but we'll see. But his favorite verse was Psalms 19:14. So, all right, good thing. All right. I had put 4 in there, and it makes no sense. It's like, this has got to be 19:14. So anyway, and I think Jim had put in the comment, it helped him through hard times. And what's interesting about these verses is, like, most of them I've had to learn. Psalms 119:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Some of you have maybe struggled with foot and mouth disease. Some of you may be like Peter, that he always said, I always love hanging around the people that are saying what I'm thinking, but I don't say it. I just love that, when they just splurt out what I'm thinking, and they just, you know, it's like, I'm glad it's on you, and they think you're like this, but I'm thinking it. But I don't know, maybe some of you, how tame is your tongue, you know? How well are you able to control your mouth? And we're gonna look at this in a lot of levels today, because a lot of times we look at it as just cussing, or when it just goes way beyond this, especially with our new ways of communicating now. And if we talk generationally, we're all wrong generationally how we communicate if we don't learn how to communicate with the other generation. I mentioned a good friend, Bernie. He's like, I think he's like 93. He's a good friend of mine. And what was really interesting is he learned to text, and he would text the young people, not as a stalker or something. He'd build relationships with kids at church and the younger people. And he began to have conversations with them that way, or just to text nice things. And some of us, and I'm not trying to get us into texting, here's how I feel about texting, and I hate group texts. That's just me. I hate them. I'm not against them, okay, but my rule is, if you've texted me about 3 times, why are we not on the phone talking? I mean, straight in a row, you know, here, that kind of thing. That's just me. But that doesn't mean that's right. And then let's go back to those, and I'm not trying to put the younger generation down. We've been taught to talk to somebody face-to-face or on the phone, when we need to learn also to be able to do the texting or those kind of things. But then you got the other side, where what I deal with a lot of younger generation, that they can't have a face-to-face, or it's easier just to be online. You need to balance both. And what we're dealing with, I've gotten in trouble before on a text where I've texted back K, which for you guys that aren't with it means okay, you know? And like, what's wrong? It's like, I just text back K, you know, it's like the thumbs up, you know, good job, I don't want to talk anymore, but thank you. Okay, you know, that kind of thing. But do you see what I mean? You can communicate, and then all of us, they get it wrong on, hey, why are you yelling at them? Because you put an exclamation point, or you put it all in caps. Now, exclamation point I could get. But you see what I'm saying? We can't measure intent. And we may have put this verse on, well, it's just what comes out of my mouth. But guys, it's what you say, it's what you don't say, it's when you say it, it's how you say it. So it's probably better if we just never say anything at all, but we'll go into that. 2 ears, 1 mouth. God may have been thinking here. So how's tame as your tongue? And we're going to get into that in a minute. To know when to speak, to know when not to speak, to know how to speak, and then what to say. It's like the guy grocery store, he sees a woman that's a little bit bigger, and he said, when's the baby due? And she goes, what baby? You know, you need to know when to speak, when not to speak, when to tame. You could choose to speak. Wow, that dropped. Okay, you could. Thank you. I appreciate the little laugh, but the Larry, I still don't get you. You were rigged the other day when you said job, and they laughed, because there's no timing on that. But okay, but you choose to speak things that are acceptable. Now, we got to get into that too. That's a whole other thing. If we're going to follow God and we're going to try to lead people to Christ, we're going to say things that society is saying unacceptable, but they're still true. need to do it in love, and you need to know when to speak and when not to speak. But in reality, let's get back to the real things. We can choose to speak what is unacceptable or acceptable. And your action step today is say acceptable things. Now again, if you think I'm going to say acceptable for whoever you're around, no, we're going to get God as the standard. And so your points today are going to spell out the word say, S-A-Y. And we're going to start in James 3. We're looking at Psalms 119:14, but we need to understand all the dynamics about this. And so you look at James 3, verses 3 and 8. The problem. What is the problem that we tend to say unacceptable things to God that are not acceptable to God? We'll get into that in a little bit. Now, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us and we direct their whole bodies and consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though, the tongue is a small part of the body. It boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. Wow. Very powerful thing right there in our mouth. Go back to 3 and 4, talks about horses and bits. Some of you are horse people, I'm glad for you. I've got my story of why I have a healthy fear of horses. I'm not scared of them, but I'm good not riding one. Okay. Ships and rudders. You see a huge ship and this small thing directs it, you know. Great example. Then he gets to 5. The tongue is small but powerful. And then they haven't determined. Maybe they have. I haven't listened as well. But the horrible fires that happened in Maui, you know, how did that start? And usually, you know, Smokey the Bear's right. You know, don't leave fires unattended. Make sure you put them out. All that kind of stuff. Because it doesn't take. Major forest fires have started from sparks off of different things. And so what it's saying is how you people that are good at starting fires, okay, I don't mean like bad ones. I'm saying some of you are the fire starters, some of you are pyros. We won't get into that. But it doesn't take much that you professional fire starters, and my wife is one, okay, and our chimney, now that we have a chimney sweep because we have chimneys again, I'm just going to help you. This is what the chimney sweep said. It said never use paper to start a fire. Most creosote is built up from people using paper. Here's a secret. Here's a hack for you. Cotton balls soaked in baby oil. There you go. That one's free. Okay? But what we're saying, you don't want a fire? You want to get... Yeah, anyway. So, creosote. Think about it. But here's the deal. A lot of you fire starters that are professionals, you know who you are. Because you're the ones when we're trying to start it. Why do you do it this way? Why do you do it that way? And your whole goal is to have the tiniest sliver or whatever, a single hair, light it, and then you have a blazing fire. Whatever that is. But here's the deal. Let's go back to forest fires and things like that. A lot of them, when they find out, it was started by something small. So he's comparing this to the tongue. And then you go like this, God, are you just like this puppeteer that's really mean that you give us something so powerful that is so dangerous? It's a fire, hard to contain. It's potentially hurtful, and it hardly gives off warmth, you know. It can give off warmth that we can use our tongue to bless people, but it's a very dangerous thing. And then it says, it's a world of unrighteousness, and that we're in an unrighteous world. And you go to 6, it stains. It can contaminate. A single word. An inflection. See, this is what I want us to understand. A lot of times we take this verse that we're going to get into, and we say, well, it's the cuss word I said or the bad word I said, but how many times one word said with the right inflection or the wrong inflection, said at the wrong time, can be poisonous and contaminate and stain. Even a sigh. Well, don't you like this, this, and this? Yeah. See what I mean? I want us to, boy, you're getting picky. Well, it's time that we become the people of God and deal with, your pastor included, the fact of the dangerous thing our mouth can do. Because we've just put it in one category when this is a very powerful thing. He says it stains, it can contaminate. What comes out of us can defile others. It can affect, it talks about life, and it meaning the circle, life, the tongue can affect all areas of our life. And it's set on fire. It has the danger of the hellfire. Very dangerous thing. So then you go to verses 7 and 8 of James. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And God gave us this. And so if we stop here, we would be very hopeless. I want you to realize, this is Pastor helping me realize, he's saying nobody can tame our tongue. All other things in creation can be tamed, restrained, curbed, but the tongue of man, we have been given free will. We are born into a sin nature, and even on our best day, we're helpless to tame it. It's restless, it's unstable, it's evil, it's a deadly poison, and no one can tame the tongue. Pretty hopeless situation that leads us to ask, who can tame the tongue? And more importantly, who can save us from our sinful selves? And only God has the power to tame the tongue, and only God has the power to save us. And so, guess who we got to go to? God. We've been talking about on Wednesday nights, the fact that if we go to God, we've been talking about witnessing and conversational evangelism, and we've been talking about how people have distorted views of themselves, one that they're not sinful, that they're okay. The second distorted view that they have is that God, his standard's down here. So therefore, I'm not sinful because God doesn't have really high standards that we can do what I want. God is holy. And God has a standard, and it's called righteousness, and none of us meet it, pastor included. And so that's where you got to start realizing, okay, I can't tame my tongue, I can't save myself, I need God. And I can't live up to his standard, and Romans tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're going to get into the verse here in a moment. And this is why we need a rock. Stability, because everything in this sinful life is unstable, and this is why we need a redeemer to redeem us back, to buy us back, to give his life as a ransom to pay for God's standard. We need God, and if we accept God's help, we become acceptable to God, and Christ raises us to God's standard. See, now we're free to struggle. We don't struggle to be free. When we receive Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We are set free, and now we can begin to deal with the stuff in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is why a lot of people sit there and try to clean themselves up, and they don't start with the problem is they're never going to be able to clean themselves up without Christ being their Savior, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Baptist, I know this scares you a little bit, but when you become saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that means you have the Holy Spirit's guidance and power if you choose to access it. And what do we do with Philippians 2:13? God is working in us, giving us the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases. I meet a lot of Christians, including your pastor, where it's like, I want to do this, and we talked about it last week. I want to do right, but I'm just helpless to do it. And then I'm listening to one of Chuck Swindoll's old sermons, and he's just basically kicking me in the pants saying, get up and start doing it and lean into the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not have an excuse not to do right when God has saved us and then sealed us with his Spirit. We're just trying to figure out, are we turning on the light switch or not of his power? And so your first feeling is this. If we're going to say acceptable things, it starts with and continues with God. I got Jesus, I got the Holy Spirit, and my mouth still has issues. I don't know if Lou heard me or not, but I never had an issue with cussing, and later in life, there's some things I'll say. I'll never say around you, and I'm not trying to hide anything, and I don't think it's right. I went out in the woods with Lou. He's 85. We went way out there, and we were out there all day, and I hope he's far enough behind me when I said some things on the sticker bush was hitting me or whatever, you know, but I'm not proud of that, and I don't like it, and I don't understand it, and I don't want to be an older person on medication in a nursing home cussing like a sailor saying he used to be a preacher. Okay? All right? Some of you know what I mean. You've been there, done there, got the t-shirt with some of your relatives. But I'm going to myself, why? That's just ignorant for me. It starts with and continues with God. Lean into the Holy Spirit. God, help me in making that decision. I'm not going to do that. You know, this leads us to the psalmist and his solution in the background and in Psalms 19:14. Before we get to the verse, you know, the psalm, this 19:14 concludes a short prayer. And at the beginning of that chapter, and I encourage you to go back and read the whole chapter, it's not that long, but he talks about general revelation, knowing that we see God in all of creation, and then the special revelation that he is the one true God that we need to seek, his protection. And so you see in this verse, it's a prayer, and the psalmist is saying, I need your protection so I don't do presumption or presumptuous sins. Now, guys, I don't want us to be worried, but there's so many times, I know it's hard to believe, but your pastor a lot of times, I didn't mean to quote, Brother, where art thou, but Alan, good to see you. Rita's got the head shaking there, but you know, so many times in ministry, I'll be going into what we call a tight spot, okay? And this prayer's on my lips, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. I learned that because I prayed. You can't go wrong praying scripture. And so what we see here, the psalmist is seeking God's help. You don't need to worry about, but a lot of us have weaknesses. A lot of us have areas that we know we're getting close to that old way, and you need to pray that prayer of God, help me. Help me to know when to run. Help me know what to do. And so the psalmist is not worried. He's saying, God, I want the words of my mouth and what's in my heart to be acceptable in your sight. I think this is you know what? You need to learn this verse. Because I know all you got your mouths controlled. I know there's never difficult situations. And the older I get, the more I learn. It's probably better just not say anything. Okay, but at least, you know, Proverbs talks about the fool is exposed when he opens his mouth, but if you keep your mouth shut, you'll be considered wise, and there's a lot of depth to that one, okay? He's asking God that what he says and what he thinks are acceptable to him, to God. And it goes back to the question, what is acceptable to God? And you go back to the verse, it says the word, so verbal. I really want to get into this. Because maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we've been talking about, we have so many ways to communicate now. So how you text, is that acceptable to God? What you say and what you don't say, when you comment, is that acceptable to God? You see what I'm saying? It goes beyond, well, he just cussed or did this or that. Tone, timing, everything. And now, we're in such a society where we're just typing it out there and letting it rip, potato chip. This verse still applies. So I don't want you to take this, well, it's whatever I physically say, however you get it out there, verbally. Acceptable to God. Of my mouth, notice this, we're always worried about what everybody else is saying. This is personal. May the words of my mouth. If you can't tame the tongue without God, and how in the world are you going to tame somebody else's tongue? Oh, those days, though, our kids, they got a fine respect for different kinds of soap in their mouth. Okay? Liquid soap. You know, some of you go off Christmas stories coming up, and what was it, Life Boy? He had the big old, you know, he's going to die of cancer from that or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, however you got to get to it. Yeah, parents, if you need a nice hack tip, soap's good, you know, that kind of thing. But it wasn't the fact that my boys were going around cussing like sailors, okay? But it was also the fact of how you said that, or what you said to them, or how you said that to me was distasteful to God, and I want you to understand what that's like. And so what we need to understand, yeah, I can control them. I can't now. You know, I couldn't. You know, here's some soap in your mouth. But we just got to worry about ourselves here. May the words of my mouth, what comes out. Oh, that'd be great, though. And then he goes into meditation. I'm not talking about transcendental. We're talking about God's term of meditation, which is reflecting that. It's like I've seen and used the example of a cow, and how a cow has several stomachs, and it'll chew the cud and go down and bring some of it back up and chew the cud. Yeah, it's right before lunch. Yeah, enjoy this. And bring it back up, and they'll keep processing further and further. That's what we're supposed to do with Scripture. We're supposed to meditate and think on it. This is why doing your devotion in the morning, if it works, or however, what your schedule looks like, where you chew on it all day, and you bring that back up, and it gets in your mind. And so everybody's thinking and meditating on something all day, so don't use what the world's term. I'm using what God's terms is. It's what we think about. I want you to understand, every sin starts with a thought. This is why 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God, and putting every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. That verse was one of the first verses I learned, because what I view is this: if every sin begins with a thought, then guess who needs to be at the gate of my mind? Jesus. And what needs to happen is, when you are entertained with a thought, should I say this? Hey, Jesus, what do you think? Should I say this or not? I think most of the time Jesus would say, you better pass on that one. In my experience, I feel the less I say, the better off things go. And there's times to speak, guys. But it's what we think about. It's what at the core. Start out youth ministry here. It's true about the sarcasm. Oh, man, I love to say funny, mean things. Not so much here with the youth at Bass Chapel, but then when we went to seminary and then we went to our first full-time youth position in Arkansas, and then we went on to Oklahoma, and I was there about 9 years. And I started noticing something with the older youth in Oklahoma. They were saying funny, mean things. They're just horrible youth. They just need Jesus. And then I started looking who they were hanging around, and it was me. And it's not that funny, okay? And this is when I found that verse. The first part says, you brood of vipers, but Matthew 12:34, the second part says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I am so passive-aggressive. I get mad later. I boil and all this kind of stuff, and I laugh at you that throw things and yell and think, sneaky you, I'm just keeping it inside, and I hate these people, and I don't hate anybody. But, you know, you see what I'm saying? But what I realized at that verse was, I am saying things that are in my heart, and people aren't getting it, because there's a few sarcasm levels that get it here, and some of you are way above me in your sarcasm. You know who you are. Okay? But I realized, I am saying really mean things, and people are laughing and not getting it, but I am. It's like, wow, I'm wrong and I'm in sin. Been thinking on it, not yelling at you. And God had to get a hold of me on that, because I was noticing the youth were doing the same thing. To the younger ones, of course, they deserved it. But anyway, no, I'm just teasing. At the heart. Notice, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be. Very small word. We're not talking about the buzzing kind. That means active. We got to be on this. Acceptable. Pleasurable. Delightful. Find favor and grace to God and to others. Again, this verse, thanks a lot, Jim. This is a heavy one, okay? But this verse, better cow chew on this one all week. And you need to memorize it. Do my words please God? Do they delight God? Do they show the grace of God? Our words, our thoughts ought to mirror God's words. we should have the mind of Christ. And that brings us to Ephesians 4:29, says this, learn this verse. It's really helping me out. Let no foul language should come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that gives grace to those who hear. I was trying to get those sticker bushes away from Lou so he could get through. I was trying to help him. He was in need. He was doing better than I was going through that woods. But anyway, it goes beyond that. No foul language should come out of your mouth, and we could explore that. It's not just talking about cussing. Anything that is not pleasing, anything that is not delightful, anything that does not show grace or build up. But only what is good for building up someone in need, so it gives grace to those that hear it. No foul, corrupt, bad, it says rotten or false language, various mediums that can tear down, that can start uncontrolled fires, that we don't need to communicate things that destroy. More like this, they need to be things that build up others in need, that encourage. You say, well, Pastor, you don't seem to be that. I am not naturally an encourager. I really am not. It just takes Jesus, but some of you make me sick. I don't know who it was the other day. They're just naturally encouraging. It's like, I hate you, and I don't hate them, but it's just like, you just everything out of your mouth is just like syrup, and it's like a good spiritual syrup, too, but it's like, do you not ever have a bad day? But we need to build up others. We need to encourage. We need to give grace, not God's judgment. And again, when we speak God's truth, that's giving grace that you can avoid hell. But you know what I'm talking about. To all those who are listening. And guys, somebody's always listening. Communicating things that build up and build a bridge to God. That's what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. Pre-evangelism, preparing the soil, listening to people and being a part of their lives, you're trying to build a bridge to the gospel. And so you're asking the question of success in evangelism as we head towards witnessing. Are they willing to talk to me again about this subject? Did I add a brick against God or take a brick down? That has a lot to do with our mouths. So your next fill-in, saying acceptable things means saying things that are acceptable to God. You're going to have to do more research on that. But you know what? You go to Galatians, I think. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is lovely. I mean, that's Philippians. Think on these things. But then you go to the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, joy. Those are good things to come out of your mouth. Do they happen naturally for me or for you? Nope, not at all. I want to say the easy, cheap, funny thing. It's not right. I'm talking about myself. Why is God's standard? Who is God's standard of acceptance? Why is God's standard of acceptance so important? You know, we talked about, and you go back to the three D's of evangelism. It's the fact that we need Christ. We need Christ to save us. We need Christ to have a relationship. We need Christ to be restored. And you go back to the last part of Psalms 19:14. Why is God's standard of acceptance so important? Because He is, notice the last part of 19:14, Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Lord, the great I am, over everything, the one and only. And so therefore, don't you think if you've received Christ as Savior and you have the Holy Spirit in you, then it doesn't matter what your standard of proper talking is. All that matters is whatever God says. I gave you Ephesians. Build up. Nothing that's rotten. To give grace to those that hear it. Why? Because He's our rock. He is the standard. Some of you have been in different trades and different things like that, and as we've had people fixing our house and stuff, they're like, well, this is the standard, and this is what you need to do. And they're not trying to sell stuff. I actually checked them out. They're pretty good. But this is the standard so you don't die of carbon dioxide. It's like, well, that's a pretty good standard. Let's do that, okay? But you see what I'm saying? If He's Lord, then He gives us a standard. So whose standard do you think you need to follow? Again, when you get into what people are missing, they're distorted about their sinners, so they're lowering God's standard. Then they're distorted on who God is. They're saying He doesn't really care. And then they get to Jesus, they distort about Him. But here's what we need to understand. He's either God or he's not. He's either Lord or he's not. He's either our stability, which is the same yesterday, today, or forever. And we know what happens if you build your house on whatever and you build your mouth on whatever. It's on the sand and it will lead to destruction. But if you build your house on the standard of the Lord, the rock, Jesus Christ, all this stuff will hit and you won't fail. He's our Lord. It's acceptable because he's Lord. There's nobody else. It's acceptable because he's the rock. There's no other stability. So that's his standard. And it's acceptable because he's our Redeemer. He has bought us back. He has ransomed us. And we are redeemed. And we are reconciled. And we are in the process of being restored. And so this is the standard. You're my rock. You're my Redeemer. You're my Lord. We can only control what we say. We can only control what we say through the power of God, because he is our rock and redeemer. He is able to save us. He is able to restore us. He is able to redeem us. So your next fill in here, if we're going to say acceptable things, we can only do this through Christ, because he is your rock and your redeemer. Well, Pastor, you didn't help me learn how to say bad things. Well, I gave you a prayer. I gave you a scripture. And you're going to be chewing like a cow on that for a while if you really get into it and meditate on it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. And so the question I have for you is, how tame is your tongue? And I would add to that, who's trying to tame your tongue? If you're trying to do it yourself, forget it. So when we have a time of invitation here in a moment, the question is this. If you don't got Jesus, it ain't going to work. And boy, that was bad English, but let's get to it. Thanks, Jim. I'll let you comment on that. Okay? But you see what I'm saying? Get Jesus right. Let him be your Lord. Receive him as your Savior. Let the Spirit enter you. But I have a sneaky feeling. You can come up or you can talk to me afterwards. I have a sneaky feeling. Most of us know Jesus. It's just we're trying to do it ourselves and not lean into the Holy Spirit or be obedient to God like Chuck Swindoll was talking about. You know what to do. Therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it to him in his sin, James. Your commitment this week was, God, I've got a problem here and I need your help. I'm going to memorize this verse. I'm going to pray it every day. I'm going to seek accountability. And again, if we narrow this down to cussing, yeah, it's probably only 80% of you. I'm just teasing, okay? But if we broaden it to the fact of, did I not speak when I should have spoken? How was my tone? Was I a coward and only put it on social media and acted like you're big and bad? Do you realize half of us, if we said the things that we said in social media when we were growing up, would have been beat up? And we would have stopped saying it. And I don't want anybody to get beat up. But some people are so big and bad to say mean things. You need to let God, and maybe at this altar or this week, but you need to chew on this verse. This is the invitation. And ask the question, are the words of my mouth and what's in my heart acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer? Because this is a verse that needs to become a part of your spiritual DNA, because it's part of mine. I still struggle. The only reason I told you half of what I told you is to realize, guess what, I'm a person too, and I don't understand why I'm doing it, and I'm trying to work on it through the power of God. So whatever you need to do, you can come lay it down, you can pray where you're at, let's stand on our feet and have this time of invitation. But are you saying acceptable things? And the first